Hi, before we start the show, we should point out that we did tell you last episode we were going to do The Happening with M. Night Shyamalan. It didn't work out.
We had special guest Ted Douglas on to talk about the movie, and there were some technical difficulties that resulted in not being able to be done by the time it's for the release. And since we didn't do that, we're not able to release on time with that. We did want to take a moment to thank Ted for coming on the show. Hopefully we'll be able to get it up there. But also to plug his upcoming show here in Portland. If you're in the Portland area, you should check it out down at the Siren Theater. They're doing a stage play of Weekend at Bernie's. And this is the third run of it. Very funny show. But you can find tickets for that at weekendatberniespdx.com. So go and check that out. Yeah, hopefully it was a good episode. So hopefully we're able to fix it. If not, we'll do a re-record and re-release a different thing of The Happening, because we had a lot to say about that movie. Since we didn't do that one, we're going to be talking about something else.
Hello, Jan.
Guten Tag, Alec.
Weißt du, was ich hasse?
Was?
Ich hasse es, wie tief Amerika gefallen ist. Jedenfalls, haben wir uns Jojo Rabbit angesehen. Ich höre jetzt auf Deutsch zu sprechen. Sorry, I'll stop speaking German now.
Yeah, I don't know enough to agree with it, and the fact that it is German makes me go, I probably shouldn't.
Das war ein harter Tag. Ich hab geschuftet wie ein Vieh. Das war ein harter Tag. Und ich werd schlafen wie noch nie. Doch wenn ich heimkomm zu dir und du stehst schon an der Tür, fühl ich mich wieder sehr stark. Ich schufte jeden Tag.
Yeah, we watched Jojo Rabbit. I said, I hate how far America has fallen.
Yeah, I was like,
we literally have Nazis again.
Yeah.
And the end of this movie, I felt like this small amount of pride of like, yeah, we went in and we killed the fucking Nazis and we saved Europe. And then we waited like 60 years and we let Nazis back into our country.
Yeah. You ever think about though, like not all Nazis, you know?
No.
Yeah. That's part of the message of this movie is, hey, you know, don't get mad at people just because they're Nazis. Some of them might be nice Nazis.
Well, okay, actually, wait, this is a longer conversation. So, we can just have it right now. Wording it that way, I kind of mistook your thing. I think I've brought this up before when we talked about World War II, where in Captain America, the first Avenger, mm-hmm. where Erskine goes, what people forget is the first country the Nazis invaded was Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of people that like just had to be Nazis or they would be killed.
Yeah.
So I do kind of have a, like, I'm not, like, not all Nazis, but only in the way of like conscripted people, like where it's like, yeah, they like took over my whole town.
Yeah.
Like, what am I going to do? It's like saying you and I are complicit in school shootings. Like I didn't do anything. I just live here.
Well, there's a certain amount of that. Like how complicit are we in this kind of stuff? But I do think when the bulk of your mess, I think that message wasn't the message we needed at this moment. And I think I think it was a little weak tea as the kids used to say.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, we'll do the kind of wrap up at the end. I just want to lead out and say, I absolutely loved this movie. I've not seen it before, but it gave me a small moment of pause of, I think I'm about two movies away from being real tired of Taika Waititi's shit.
I'm kind of there.
Every character sounds like him, and I love his writing, so this movie, I'm like, I'm delighted. But also in the back of my head, I'm like, oh, this is real close. This is like that weird era of Wes Anderson where it's like, oh, you're just going to keep doing the same thing, huh?
Well, that's the thing, like, he did some similar shit that he did in, like, Hunt for the Wilder People that I think he did to an even less effective degree. I think he excels at being goofy, and I don't think satire is his jam at all. And I think the parts of this that work the best is when he's just being kind of silly. And it's fun, but I didn't hate it. I know some people like were really pissed about it. It's just kind of middling. And some of that I just took to me being, I'm just kind of tired of Taika Waititi.
Yeah. If I had watched it, if I was slightly more familiar with his oeuvre, I think I could be there with you. Although I am a little bit more patient for things I like, you know, kind of, mm-hmm. I like the writing, so I think I probably give another movie or two just, you know, kind of leeway than you will with.
I probably would have liked it more if he wasn't in it. his mugging as Hitler got real tiresome real quick.
I enjoyed it greatly.
Yeah.
I thought that kind of stole the show a bit. Because there was times where I thought it went the other way, where it got like slightly too serious at times. Mm-hmm. And I think he landed it well. But there's a couple times where it's like, come on, dude, you're a dude doing a really bad German accent, throwing yourself out of windows. This isn't the movie to get serious.
Yeah.
And they don't like the Stephen Merchant part where like there's a moment of actual tension. And then you're like, oh, no, this is actually going to be hilarious. This is fine.
Yeah. I mean, some of like the harder stuff. And I know one of the criticisms often leveled this movie that it is like it really papers over some of the atrocities of the time. And like really just how bad this shit was. And yeah, fair enough. And I agree. I think, you know, when I think of like really dark satires that I really like, I think of stuff like Armando Iannucci, you know, Death of Stalin and that kind of thing that, you know, yeah, some of this sort of you can't ignore the awful stuff that happens, but some of the stuff in this just, it didn't fit for me. Like totally. It just felt like, it's not that like the shifts were too big or just maybe they weren't big enough. I don't know. Something just felt hollow about it.
The thing that stuck out to me is like, did you watch Band of Brothers?
I never have. I've never seen it.
So there's a thing in season two-ish. I don't even know if there's two seasons. Later. Uh-huh. Where they don't know they're about to find one and they kind of stumble into a concentration camp.
Mm.
And the kind of, no one knew about them. Like, I guess there was like whispers, but no one, you know, it wasn't like a known thing.
Mm.
And it's a brutal episode because it's just like that, like seeing their faces drop and just realizing like the fucking utter sheer inhumanity that's been happening.
Yeah.
And it just, this movie, I mean, it's a long way to go. I don't mean to like be so dark because we're about to talk about like a funny movie, but.
Well, I mean, it's a dark movie.
I just have to keep reminding myself that like in, you know, Berlin, they don't know about concentration camps. Mm-hmm. Like all they know is, it's basically if Trump won a third term, like all they know is this noble guy that's blaming the bad people and
right.
It's this propaganda machine. They don't know about the death camps.
But that's kind of like, so that's understandable.
Living through, sorry. Just,
yeah.
I'm being, I just want to get the point across because I sound close to horrible. I just mean living through the times that we lived in and the kind of so close to the alternate universe that we go full Third Reich. I have so much more sympathy for the people that like the Germans that are stuck in Berlin that is like, yeah, you kind of, what are you going to fucking do? You know, sorry, go ahead.
No. And I think, I mean, I do think there's a fair point. I obviously, you know, there is art and stuff about that kind of thing. I know that the book this movie is based on is a lot more serious.
Yeah. There's no imaginary Hitler in the book. Apparently. Yeah.
Oh, well, which is boy,
like, what missed an incredibly weird choice.
Yeah. But I think, yeah. So I think adding that levity without actually kind of addressing that at the same time probably isn't the greatest thing. You know what I mean? Like if they had contextualized that a little better about how no one actually does. I mean, at the very end, you get the British kid who's also German being like, turns out there's some really awful stuff going on. And that's not enough for me to be like, I don't know.
So the part that got me on board is not the satire part, but watching through the eyes of a child, realizing just how stupid the shitties, but like him realizing that what I've been taught is completely stupid and wrong. And in the kind of, you know, in the Q world that we live in right now, maybe more stories like that would be helpful, you know, of going, yeah, this is just it's just a young girl. Like she doesn't have horns and claws or she doesn't rape babies under the comma pizza. Like that's, you know, it's not, these aren't real things. These are, you're getting fed this QAnon Hitler bullshit and what it is, you know, scared young people, you know, like, oh my God, I was born with different genitalia than I identify with. Burn them. Like, it's the same, it's not the same shit, but it's the same fucking shit.
Well, it's like, I kind of wish they would have gone, because I did like the scenes with him and the woman, or the child that was trapped in the room with him, the Jewish young girl.
Oh, wait, sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you, but how old is she supposed to be? I was lost there. I can't tell ages anymore.
I don't know. I thought she was supposed to be a teen of some sort, or, you know, maybe at least approaching, because, you know, she was talking about getting married to Nathan and all that.
I couldn't figure it out. I'm like, is she like 24? Like, okay, sorry, continue.
Elsa, the girl hiding in his thing. So I kind of like those scenes when she's messing with him a little bit and he writes that fake letter from her boyfriend. That was adorable. But like I wish they played into a little bit more of some of the cynicism of, cause you got the sense with Stephen Merchant's character, the tiny role, which he is exactly like, that what's his name? Tote from Raiders of the Lost Ark. He gave me that kind of vibe.
Yes. Yeah. I know the guy that had the thing on his palm.
With the fedora or whatever, but just these like this tall, sickly guy talking about the master race.
Yeah.
But they're like, how like when they find his book that Jojo has been writing about the Jews or whatever, how they're kind of like, he clicked all these boxes. Like, we know that this propaganda is working. There was, it's not like they believed it. I don't know. I did enjoy that undertone of that scene.
No, totally. It's like, look, Comet beats the Second Amendment. These fucking idiots bought it all. Yeah.
And I kind of wish it went a little bit more in that direction. I think that would have maybe made it a bit more effective than just the treacly stuff. But
yeah, I mean, it got me, but like, I totally see the other side of it. Cause I'm like, I think I was just kind of in the mood for like one, the kind of dire nature and my completely having given up on the country I live in right now and comparing it to what happened then. This is like hitting a little harder than it should. Like, he's getting a lot more mileage out of the GOP trying to, you know, circumvent the rule of democracy than actual filmmaking.
Yeah. And that's where I kind of, coming from this, the same thing, like that's where some of this falls flat for me. It feels a little bit like we're going to call him Drumpf kind of. Like, that's your answer to Nazis is love wins.
Hey, John, could you at least take off that red hat before you say it? Because the audience can't see that.
Well, I'm just saying, it's a little bit, it's like, yeah, we love wins, and this is where it got us. Just with everything that's happened now, I mean, maybe even from when it came out to now, it's just like, yeah, it doesn't seem like that's enough.
I mean, there is a big difference. It's what, 2019?
Yeah, it's wild.
It's worse.
But like, I think a good example of this movie working and not working for its intended purpose. And this isn't a knock on her, but it's Sam Rockwell versus Rebel Wilson. Sam Rockwell's character is like this. It seems like he's kind of still into the war effort, even though he's lost an eye or whatever.
Yeah.
And he's demoted to teaching these kids. And so he kind of checked out and doesn't care. And you find out later towards the end that, you know, maybe he's one of the good ones, quote unquote, or just doesn't believe in the Jewish stuff. But
I think they're leading it that he's a closeted gay, which.
Right. Yeah. There's elements of that in there versus
need
like
to make sure, cause they killed the shit out of them too. So
yeah, but just the broadness of Rebel Wilson's character is just so silly. And I mean, it's fine. I like Rebel Wilson is good for that sort of role, but I think those were opposing forces in this movie.
Yeah, I took it as, like, you're right, but I was reading it as, like, that kind of, it's, like, a very British movie, even though it's not British at all. Mm. Like, it's got that kind of British sensibility to it. And, I mean, I guess it makes sense, given the subject matter. And she's got that kind of broad British humor, which I know sometimes there's that dry thing, but I mean, like, the bad side of British humor. And I feel like that's where they're going with her.
Yeah, her role was just, was pretty goofy. And while it was some stuff and it made me laugh, it was, like, I don't know, just some of the jokes fell flat for me, like when they're at the pool thing and like just the long sequence of her scooting over. It's a minor thing, but that was like, I don't know, it just didn't feel like it fit with the rest of the movie. Or the awful German Shepherd's joke, that
the German Shepherd's joke, because one, they would be called Alsatians, so hey, how about you get a fucking dictionary, Taika?
That was my problem.
Yeah, and also it's a really bad joke. The what I did like about her, she did some good physical comedy where she's like gesticulating with a loaded Luger.
Yes.
And like just pointing at people's
that
faces.
That runner with it was great. Yeah. And then at the end when she's just giving kids guns because the war is failing, she's like, oh, you've been promoted. Take this gun. Like, or she straps a bomb to a child. Like, that was hilarious. But it's like, I almost wish they went that far with it.
I forgot
more
about
often,
that.
You know?
The casual violence, I mean, like, for a joke, like, the fact that our lead character gets blown up, like, horrifically. Oh, that's what she had. I love that line where she goes, oh, M. Gott, he looks like a Picasso painting.
Uh-huh.
Which is such a Taika Waititi line of, like, the O.M. Gott, whatever. But he looks like a Picasso painting. Those two things together, well, if I were Italian enough, I'd do a chef's kiss, but they were on the wrong side, so we're anti-Italian this episode.
Yeah, I don't know. What did you think of Scarlett Johansson?
I loved her, like, a lot. I love the character. I love the way she played it. She made weird choices. I have parental issues where I don't feel loved, and I just want her to be my mom. The whole, like, I actually, I literally gasped and out loud in my spinster basement apartment said, "Oh no," when the shoes reveal happened. Like, yeah. I was legitimately upset, which, by the way, fucking ballsy of this movie, because that was not the direction I thought this was going.
Because I fully expected something to happen to Elsa.
That's what I
guess. And then he was going to have to wrestle with that. So that was a bit unexpected.
I thought it was going to be Elsa or the fat kid, the Churchill kid, yeah. was going to get killed in some stupid, like, he's trying to be a soldier and him going, "Oh, this is dumb. We're kids." But not fucking finding your fucking mom all dead. Huh? Oh, that was brutal. Anyway, what do you think of her?
Yeah. No, she was fine. Like, it was, again, like this kind of broader thing. And I think she can do that pretty well.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a little bit like, I don't know. I felt a little bit, for her role, for what she was supposed to be doing, it felt a little weird to have that she's secretly fighting for the resistance, but she's okay with her child embracing this thing full heart. You know, the idea that, like, well, we're all just trying to survive in this world, and that's not always easy, but it still felt like an odd choice.
Yeah, I think they could have done that better. I think what they were going for is he's just a kid. I mean, she says it in the one part. It's like, he just wants to be part of a club. He likes swastikas. He's not, you know, because I think when I was a kid, like playing with G.I. Joes or whatever, I'm literally doing like American propaganda in my toy box. And, you know, I think it's just that kind of thing where she maybe realizes, and also he's so into it. It's like, I can't, what am I going to do? Try to teach him that the Nazis are bad? Like that's how we get killed, you know?
I think you kind of nailed it when you said that it's like the idea that this is a Berlin that doesn't know what's going on. And I just think they didn't adequately present that, because it's hard to be like, the Nazis, and no one knew about this yet. You know, everyone just, those are tied together in the head. And so I think that was a little bit of a misfire.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, I'm not like a World War II expert, but I know, you know, I know a chunk, and that's my understanding of what was going on. Like, I think the whole concentration camp stuff didn't come out till like the Nuremberg trial. Like, a lot of it wasn't known for a long time. So I can, you know, obviously some screaming freaking idiot behind a microphone, I think you can kind of, anybody with like half a brain go, "Oh yeah, he's not good." I mean, we just had ours. Like, all the thing, people are like, "Ugh, all right."
Well, I mean, you'd hope, but...
A lot of the ones with empathy. I loved the opening of this movie, and that's, I think, carried me through a lot of the parts that were a little uneven, is that I didn't expect him and Taika Waititi as I've mispronounced his name 100 times. I apologize. I just, my mouth struggles on those. Him and the kid psyching themselves up, doing the, "You can hail me better than that. You can hail me better than that." And then that cutting to comparing Hitler's rise to the Beatles with a Beatles song in German. Like, this is fucking awesome. Like, what a weird tone you're setting. Like, what a weird pace. And I think he hits it well.
Yeah. I like that bit, but it's like, to what end? Like, so what did I learn from that? You know what I mean? Like, oh, so pop culture is... You know what I mean? Like that, tying those two things together. How did that fit into their overall message of the movie?
Well, John, what you don't understand is, okay, look in my eyes. What do you see? That's a cult personality. Like Joseph Stalin or Kennedy. One makes three. I don't really know all the lyrics, but the point is, that's what we're doing.
You get the gist.
It's a whole, I don't even remember who does that song, but.
Yeah, In Living Color.
In Living Color, yeah. No. That's with the Wayans brothers. Or Fire Marshal Bill. He was hilarious because he had burns to most of his face.
He was dying constantly.
but he said it in a funny way. Oh, that's good. His stretchy arms.
But yeah, like, that would have been an interesting thing to explore for a movie, and maybe a different movie does that. I thought that was kind of fun. And I was still on board with him as Hitler at that point. It wasn't until a little bit later when I was just starting to get, it felt like when the movie was like holding its own, I kind of got tired of seeing him, where it's like, I understand you, because the character was sort of, I don't want to say necessary, but like for the purpose of this movie, they needed that character to operate like an internal monologue rather than just have Wonder Years German style. They needed someone to bounce off that internal struggle. But some of the broadness, and like I don't always love the, we're going to talk in a sort of modern way. It's the past, but we're still going to say things like correcto mundo.
I like that a lot.
I don't have a hard and fast rule about it. Yeah. It's sometimes it's fine. Sometimes it's not. And with this, sometimes it worked and sometimes it didn't.
See, I'm a big fan of that, like anachronistic music in stuff like this one, like that's got songs that like there's a fucking Tom Waits montage in this movie. Weird on that, because Scarlett Johansson has a whole album of Tom Waits covers. Couldn't you use one of hers? Come on.
Interesting. Yeah.
It's actually pretty good. You don't need it. Like, it's not a necessary thing, but like as a useless piece of thing that happened, you're like, yeah, didn't expect you to be able to pull this off, but like she's got a cool, throaty, weird Tom Waits covery thing happening.
Yeah. I think that was something that troubled me a little bit about this movie, is like the very Wes Anderson-y style of it.
Yeah.
Again, served to sort of keep everything at arm's length. There was this sort of detachment to what was actually going on that made it a little bit harder for me to connect with some of these people.
Just some of the way the shots are structured, like cinematography, like at the end, after the bombing, he's like shot with this like pastel blue wall right behind him. And it's like, it's directly out of Wes Anderson movie.
Yeah.
And also like a kid that's wise for his years a little bit. And he's doing like wry head movements.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, this is very Wes Anderson-y.
Yeah. Yeah, just, I don't know, like that, it's a weird thing to pick out, but there's that, when he's talking to Elsa earlier on, and like, he's sitting in a chair, and there's clearly space, like there's going to be a chair next to him, but there's no one there, there's just this empty panel. That, to me, felt very Wes Anderson. Like, that was the moment that I went, oh, wait, this seems odd.
I don't remember that part, but I'm going to agree with you.
It's a very minor thing, but it's just something in the framing, the way they're putting it together.
No, it's there. I mean, I wonder if, I didn't look up who the cinematographer is, or whatever, or what the lineage is there, but I wonder if there's some overlap in some way.
Did you recognize Sam Rockwell's second in command?
Oh yeah, that is a Game of Thrones guy who I don't know his name.
Yeah, it's Alfie Allen.
Yeah, he plays. I think he's Ramsay Bolton. Maybe
he's Greyjoy.
Greyjoy. They're very connected in the book. Yeah. That's it. Yeah.
Yes. Oh yeah.
Here's a fun thing that happens. That it is stupid, and I wanted to see if you agreed with me. It's, we need somebody to walk the clones.
Yes, that was like a fun little throwaway gag that I very much enjoyed.
I'm still on the fence. Like, I like Boys from Brazil as a movie. I like this kind of, it's such a dumb line. I don't know if that's even a known enough thing that any, like, that joke even works to most people, but I'm either really annoyed by it or I find it like, what a witty bell moo, you know?
Yeah, it's like that pull of zaniness versus like dark, edgy satire that I would like it to go one way or the other more than it did. It kind of felt like the edges were shaved off a bit on some stuff for when you're trying to make a movie about the Nazis, and making fun of the Nazis isn't the best move, I think.
Speaking of which, let me just fast forward through a couple notes so we can get to another thing that I was annoyed by that I'm sure you agree.
Mm-hmm.
Little Jojo and his mom see a hanging in the courtyard, and they're like, oh, these are, you know, sympathizers or whatever. It's horrifying, and we get introduced to the girl in the attic, and then he says, you're a Jew, Gesundheit.
Mm-hmm.
That is a fucking Mel Brooks joke. That is fucking stupid.
Yes.
Like, that's like,
yes.
That's embarrassing. I don't even know how to put that into words, how bad that is. And like, I was trying to justify it because I like the movie. Well, whatever. She's like she's a young woman. It's not like she's got a sophisticated sense of humor. It's like, no, I can't even do it. Even I, a person that will defend the lowest of low, the rubiest of ruby rods. That is a bad fucking joke.
It was a bad joke. And it was like, it needed to be like couched in something more than just like letting it sit there like a turn to bathtub. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. This is a British thing. Better script with some Tippex.
There you go. Thank you for our British listener.
Yes. Oh, well, I mean, apropos of nothing, we got a very nice review on Apple Britain or whoever the hell it is.
iTunes.co.uk.
Yes. From what was it? Biz. Ted Danson's Ghost or something like that?
It was 80s Ted Danson.
Yeah. So thank you, 80s Ted Danson. Thank you, 80s Ted Danson. That was very nice of you. I appreciate your contribution to my self-esteem, which has grown 10 times its previous amount. So what's 10 times zero again?
I don't know. I don't know metrics very well. I'm.
Yeah, we use imperial sadness out here.
Right, yeah.
A Jew, Gazoon. Oh, fuck. That is. The more I think about it, maybe I don't like the movie. No, I do. I really enjoy it. But that was, that's legitimately like baffling that made it to the final cut of a movie.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was my feeling about the German Shepherd things, where it's like, are you just filling time? This is, oof. That's like a Heathcliff cartoon. What is actually that makes more sense than a Heathcliff cartoon.
No, it's a Mel Brooks joke. I mean, but that's a straight up Mel Brooks joke.
Yeah.
The thing that I think is the highlight of this film is the interplay of JoJo and Elsa. And the first interview is I just want to live there.
Mm-hmm.
Of him trying to ask questions about Jews and her not knowing how to, watching their kind of what their relationship is going to be get built. And her having the kind of thought process of, I'm just a human. He literally doesn't understand that I'm a human. And her trying to like find a way to answer this and strategize of what do you do here? Like, what do you do when you're a part of the Clinton family and someone is outside screaming that you rape babies? I don't know how to, I mean, of course I don't. Like, I don't even know how to fucking approach that.
Yeah. And I will say that both of these actors, I think, are great. Roman Griffin Davis as JoJo and Thomasin McKenzie as Elsa. And we were talking before we started recording about how the only other thing, well, the only thing I've seen her in anyway, and you just watched recently was
Old.
Old. Yeah. Which was, so I would like to see her in some better stuff. Cause I do think she's great.
Yeah. She was also in The Power of the Dog, which I've not seen, but that's supposed to be quite good.
The Power of the Dog is very good. I don't remember that character at all.
Oh, I don't. I just saw it on. That. I just saw it on IMDb, and it's like one of those things that, like, when I say I'll put it on the list, I have like a random list somewhere. I've actually got like 16 in my Google Notes, and that has been on there on like three of them. Of somebody kept telling me to watch that, but I haven't seen it yet.
So good. Well, I'm glad they listened to me.
She's also in another thing, The Justice of Bunny King. She's got a nice little kind of hair thing going here. Because it's Jojo Rabbit and she's in Bunny King.
Hair. Because I was thinking Hair on the Head, which is a cruel thing to say to a bald man. That's awful.
Oh, come on, John. You're balding. Balding.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
I don't remember why, but at some point Hitler is dressed as a Native American, which made me so pleased that there's a movie out there where a kind of, I think he's a Maori ancestry, possibly.
Polynesian Jew is how he referred to himself.
Okay, Polynesian Jew is dressed up as Hitler, dressed up as a Native American, talking to a Hitler youth. That is,
yeah.
What a blessed time we have that level of fucking absurdity is like, oh no, that's like a popular movie that we can talk about.
Yeah, I like that bit when they're talking to Hitler, but Hitler is talking to other people like they can hear him.
And oh,
like,
yeah.
What are
yeah.
you doing? And it's like, she can't hear you, so he says it louder. That's a Mel Brooks joke, but that's a good Mel Brooks
joke. But that's a good Mel Brooks joke. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
No, I got a kick out of that. And their interactions were pretty fun as well, but overall. But as I said, like, as the movie kind of got going, he started to feel a lot more ancillary and kind of forced in their stuff. Like even just like his final thing at the end sort of felt, you needed to wrap that up, obviously.
Yeah.
The runner of him showing up, but it just felt a little bit like, all right, we're going to get this big applause break now. Just kick him in the nuts and call it a day.
So I agree with you, but in slightly a different order. Because I think one of the middle Hitlers should have been cut. And I like the end.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not like a great scene, but like metaphorically him kicking this thing out, him becoming like a little boy.
Yeah. Instead of,
but like, I think there's just one too many Hitler scenes that like maybe one a little bit earlier and then that end pays off better. Because as he becomes friends with Elsa, she, you know, Hitler stops showing up and it's metaphor for him opening his mind. But yeah, there's like one too many.
And I will say, like, I do think the middle kind of droops a lot in this movie. It slows down, and like the fun pacing kind of, as it starts to try to maybe deal with some of the larger issues of,
yeah,
it just kind of slows down. It feels like it spins its wheels a little bit. Like, you could, if this was a tighter movie, this might be a little bit more fun. But
there is a part around here, the idea is that I think it's love is the strongest thing in the world, and his correction, I think you'll find metal is the strongest thing in the world, followed by dynamite, followed by muscles. Which is the most Taika Waititi line you could possibly write.
Yeah.
Korg should say that. That is a funny fucking line. It has no business being in this movie, but that is a funny fucking line. Like, the strongest thing in the world, followed by dynamite, followed by muscles. That is such a delightful little kid line.
And it is, I mean, it's absolutely like that little kid logic. It's great, but not jumping too far ahead, even though it's the end of the movie. Speaking of lines that don't have a place in this movie, maybe don't have a Holocaust movie, tangentially a Holocaust movie, that ends with the phrase, let everything happen to you. Oof.
I'm not sure he really thought that out. I think he was thinking from like the not Jewish side.
Just experience life, and like I get it, but
yeah. Also, and it works really well for Elsa and Nathan, but Rilke is so fucking overused. It is on Goop products. Like, it is that level of.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's Rilke is a fucking brilliant poet. I'm taking nothing away from the work, but the legacy is Facebook quotes. So I sorry. I went to school.
No, that sucks. That absolutely sucks. Yeah. And I do feel for you, because it's when you see something great and it's, you know, like The Godfather, and it's, you know, Marlon Brando and success memes about mental, you know, money mindset. It's like, no, okay, fine.
Yeah, come get the Gumad special at Applebee's.
Oh.
I loved him going to the library to get Rilke.
Mm-hmm.
One, because that library looks fucking gorgeous and I just want to live there.
Mm-hmm.
But two,
yep.
That little kid logic of, I'm going to write a letter from your boyfriend and break up with you through it, is so cute and so Calvin Hobbes-y. Like, I just absolutely love it. And her deciding to go with it, I mean, spoiler for the rest of the movie, but when it turns out she's well aware of the fact that her fiance is dead.
Yeah.
The fact that she chose to go with this bit with him, not just go, well, I know it's not from him, like, that she let him do it. She let him write the second letter, the third letter. It was, I don't know, I just found it beautiful, and I'm going to cry a little bit.
That reveal, because she's upset about it. And it's a little bit like, wait, she's buying this? But then when you find out later the reason and it sort of recontextualize it, it's a nice moment. It's very well done.
I took it as, when she got upset the first time, I took it as like, oh, I was thinking this, she was assuming he's been killed. Because my assumption is that he's also a Jewish person. And they're in the middle of, well, they're at the end of World War II. So like, the odds are not fucking good. And I thought she was working under the same thing with her parents. She didn't actually see them go anywhere, but she's like, they got on a train and they went a place where nobody comes back. And I thought she was working on the assumption that her boyfriend was like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then when it's revealed that she knew it was tuberculosis, it's just, brutal.
Which, speaking of knowing things, I do like the mystery of his father. That his Scarlett Johansson is Rosie is his only parent, because his father he's routinely told off fighting in the war, but everyone else is telling him that, like, no one's heard from his dad. He's a deserter. So, and I do like how that's never really resolved. Like, he doesn't come back and be like, nope, this whole time I was fighting for the resistance and here I am to save you, or something like that. Like, at the end, he's still a orphaned 10-year-old.
Yeah. I think it's pretty clear that his dad's Hitler. Because we do find out in this movie that Hitler has four testicles.
That is true.
So he's so virile that he probably just impregnated her from across. Like, much like Palpatine and Shmi Skywalker.
Mm-hmm. Or like through the astral plane or something, because they were doing a lot of occult stuff too. He's probably...
John, you can't have babies through the astral.
Well, in the plane, you can.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Because the physics are different.
Yeah, it's mile high sperm.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to talk about Stephen Merchant.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know Stephen Merchant was going to be in this movie.
Me neither. I mean, I think I might probably saw him in the trailer, but, you know, I forgot it.
The utter wave of joy I had that Stephen Merchant, if you said, like, Alex, who would you like to be a bumbling SS? I was about to say gazpacho officer. Gestapo officer.
Hey, I'm a gazpacho officer.
I'm not.
Why are super so hot?
Gazpacho's like...
I enjoyed that.
I know, but it's Spanish.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
I mean, it's tomatoes, so therefore it's automatically Italian.
Fair enough. If you had said, Alex, like, dream cast a doofy SS officer, I don't know that I would smart enough to come up with Stephen Merchant, but if you give me a list, circle that motherfucker six times, put stars next to it, and it is a dream to have him. He plays it perfectly. There's a goofy level. There's a menace at certain points because he is like 6'7". That scene really, like, that worked for me 100%. Other than, I thought they did the hail thing one too many times.
Yes, because it was like, I know that not everyone that sees this is going to be, it's this. But like, immediately I'm just like, oh, it's the doctor thing from Spies Like Us. There's like, doctor, doctor, doctor.
Wow. Well done. I haven't thought about Spies Like Us in 20 years, but yes, that's exactly what it is.
That's the only thing I remember from that movie, but it's fine. So, I mean, it's not like that's a super original joke anyway. Like, that kind of stuff's been done.
Wait, I think you're thinking of Finn and Poe when it's like general. That's what you're thinking of.
That's what I was thinking of.
In The Rise of Skywalker, the greatest movie ever.
The greatest film. Yeah. But it went on like a little too longer. Did they do it two or three times?
I think they did it three times and then sort of a fourth where they kind of did like a play. I got the joke. It just won too many.
Yeah.
I think he was trying to do the David Letterman. If you repeat it enough to the board, then do it one more time and it's funny again. And they just didn't quite get the ratio.
Yeah. It's like when shit in Austin Powers would be, particularly in the second one, when it was like not funny and it never got back to funny.
There's a around the same area. Oh, I forget his name. Jesus. The guy from Moon. Sam Rockwell.
Sam Rockwell.
Sam Rockwell, when he's designing his own uniform and it is this like band camp flourishing
feathers things for aerodynamic, off the top of his hat. Like that was, yeah.
But when he walks in and him and Game of Thrones guy are like looking at each other so lustily, like they just want to smash so hard. And it happens twice in the movie. I'm a big fan because I really like people having lives outside of the character, which a lot of people forget. Like they're like, no, they only exist while they're on screen. But that wrote a whole story for me of, oh, you're gay during the fucking Third Reich. Good luck, dudes, you know?
Yeah. Boy, that just got me thinking about
finally asking me to do the thing we've always wanted.
Yeah. Yes. That keeps getting hinted at every podcast episode. No, that tweet I sent you earlier about the, how whatever you think of the cartoon in anything after that, there is nothing cooler than just the phrase, the Clone Wars, and that explaining it in any capacity 100% makes it suck.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's forgotten so much in a lot of modern day entertainment where it's like, you can just have this happen. Like you can have this little like thing between these two characters, like you said, like a life outside of the actual plot of this movie, and it's fine.
Yeah.
Like I don't need that fully explained or underlined or like even like a total resolution to it other than like they're still fighting together at the end when they're captured by the allies. More of that, please.
Yes.
I did give your characters some subtext.
There was a moment I skipped over. I'm just sorry. I'm being a little gushing on the film, but Elsa are talking and she's like, oh, I'm such a dirty Jew. And she's like kind of looking at her face and seeing her face is dirty. And then there's this beautiful, I mean, it is a Wes Anderson scene where she's bathing and he's just sitting outside with his back to it, being tempted to look in. It's just, that slayed me. There's such an emotional kind of arc just coming to, I loved it. I love so much of this movie. I want to kiss it.
Yeah. I mean, it's a very sort of humanist movie, which I think is good, but in some ways not so good. Like I think when you try to be like humanist about the Nazis, it's how useful is that necessarily? Particularly like in light of what's happening now, is that message that resonant?
Yeah. I mean, maybe the 3 years ago, 4 years ago, 5 years ago when they wrote it, but yeah, I think that choice thing, I think if he remade, if he was making the movie now, I think he would have hung a hat more on the choice to be a Nazi versus the, you were kind of conscripted into it. Cause I mean, they do have a child walking around putting conscription notices in people's mailboxes. Like, I mean, it's there. It's just probably not enough for how unsubtle America is at the moment. Like all this stuff is.
Yeah. Well, it made me think a little bit of like how throughout the Trump administration, you had all those like New York Times articles that were like, we went to a diner in Trump country to talk to these people about what they believe in. And rather it's like, I don't care. I don't need these people humanized to me. I don't care. Like this is what's happening is bad. You don't need to try to, I don't want to understand these people. I'm sorry.
Yeah. But on that note, to put it in the modern perspective, I would like to hear the article of the people that are being raised in that household and how they're surviving that. And I think that's kind what, I mean, it's not, I think maybe he needs to put a little more effort into like making that, but that's what this movie felt more like of not necessarily Jojo, but everybody, you know, of Elsa and his mom and his dad, like the people that are like, well, what do I, you know, what, I'm just a human in a shitty situation.
Yeah. Or like that when towards the end, when they're collecting scrap metal for Hitler and he's dressed like a rock and stuff like that. Like, I'm sure if, you know, little kids are probably like, that's awesome. I got to dress up like a robot and go do this thing.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
How that kind of stuff permeates a little bit more.
Yeah.
Or like you said, like the, with like the fanaticism of like being like the Beatles or something, like if that meant something in this movie, that would be great. But like, and the same thing when I like when Archie, what's it called in the movie, Yorkie.
Yeah.
Which I forget if I've mentioned this already, how they just like, you cannot do a German accent, so don't try. Just be British. Everyone else is German accent except this kid.
I think he's purposefully doing Winston Churchill. That's why they cast a kid that looks like Churchill with like Churchill glasses.
I think
he's supposed to be Churchill. Like, I think that's the joke. Because he's Yorkie. He's the old bulldog and he's a Yorkie.
Yeah.
Two different.
Sure. I don't know enough about Winston Churchill to put it together. Like,
the British bulldog, and he's another fat person that looks like him in the same time period. It's called a Yorkie.
That would make sense, because I mean, it didn't, for as sort of whimsical as this movie is, it doesn't really matter. But half through the movie, I'm like, wait a minute, this kid's not even doing a British accent, and he's adorable anyway, so it's fine.
Yeah.
It's not like I'm mad at him, but how he's wearing a paper uniform, and it's not paper, it's paper like
that made me laugh really hard. Honestly. Yeah.
That felt almost like Brazil, like, you know, where it's this collapsing empire, this broken system. But
that's a beautiful bit of writing. Like, that's such a funny joke. It's a paper like material. It's so fucking funny
that they just can't. Yeah, and that the war is crumbling around.
Yeah,
Jojo as he's trying to figure this stuff out.
Yeah. I think the most effective things in this movie is him tying Elsa's shoelace at the end. Uh-huh. But let me throw this out. I think it's somewhat ruined by him trying to tie his mom's shoelace when she's hanging from the gallows.
Yeah.
I think you did the same kind of trick twice, and because that hit me hard when it was on the gallows, but then when the final payoff happens, it's like, oh, yeah, you already blew your emotional load via shoelace. It's just, which sucks, because I thought that was like a beautiful little thing of just like this person that I literally thought was a scaly reptile subhuman. Now I'm like, oh, no, oh, darling, I don't want you to trip. Please let me tie your shoes. Yeah.
Yeah. It felt like a repeating it felt a little hollow. Also, like, and I did not like the dancing at the end. I know that was the whole thing. Like, when you're free, what are you going to do? I'm going to dance. It just felt a little bit like, well, so Jojo, you're like, where you live is completely bombed out. You have no family to speak of. You are 10. Yeah, let's boogie down. Like, I don't know. It just didn't work.
He's so enamored with her. I love his proclamation of love and his understanding that it's like a brotherly thing. But he's so enamored with her, and he's so happy that she can go outside. And he got slapped so that the guilt of what he just said goes away. That, yeah, I don't know, the dancing, that it felt, I don't know if it felt that it's 100% earned, but I think it's close enough that I'm all right with it.
Yeah, it just, I don't know, felt very empty to me, a little cynical, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, the part that I, let me put on my I'm from the internet hat, I didn't like that they're dancing in beat to a song that's non-diegetic.
Yes, yeah.
Because that song's not there. Oh, and sorry, I did really like the payoff of he finally learned how to click his fingers. Oh, sorry, I'm from Britain, snap his fingers. At the end when he's dancing, because he showed earlier that he kind of sucks at that.
Yeah.
Pretty good, Taika. Pretty fucking good.
Yeah. Well, I like how he sucks at most. Like, he can't wink. He can't,
Have you ever met anybody that can't wink? I've known two different people that can't wink.
I believe I've met someone, like, in my adult life that cannot wink. Yeah.
Look, I know this is probably the wrong episode to talk about it, but I think everybody that can't wink, I mean, let's just take them out. Just, we don't need those genes to be passed down.
Weak genes. We need to be able to, because, you know, if you're doing a shooting, you need to be able to.
Exactly. This is America. You need your sniper scopes on, baby.
Ugh.
I fucking hate this country. We live in hell. Lot.
It's great.
It's such dog shit. Just every day is a fucking new embarrassment. But here's a good thing. Hitler eats a unicorn head. And I didn't need this scene, but the fact that they made a whole fucking unicorn head just to have him at a table eating it.
Yeah.
That's such stupid filmmaking. I was like, good job, guys. You did it. Like, that was thousands of dollars spent on that scene.
Sure. And I think sort of like from the imagination of a child or something, I think that's fine. You know, if you're going to go that big with it, I go for it.
Oh, we have to stop them before they eat us and screw all our dogs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mean to be the positive guy. I mean, I'm always the positive guy, but...
No, you can like stuff. It's fine.
No, but I'm liking stupid things.
That's also
That's
fine.
So dumb. It's
yeah.
What a blessed time that we can be in a time where that's a line in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Is we have to stop them before they eat us and screw all our dogs.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so great. But the reason I have that line noted is fucking Churchill kid just casually throws away that Hitler's dead.
Yeah.
Imagine being on the ground in Berlin or whatever, right? And anywhere in Germany. And like how that like disseminates. Like right now, everybody's talking about how Putin may have cancer, and there's like this like little susurration going on, little whispers he might be dead soon, and like there's like kind of almost like people are hoping it happens. But imagine what it's like in Germany, where everybody's so fucking tired of all this. Not everybody, but
oh yeah,
there's a lot of them are tired of this, and just how do you even believe it? Like how do you go, oh my god, it's over? It's this, and it's him casually delivering it. It's not even the point. Like later, he's worried about his dog getting fucked, and then throws in. Oh yeah, and Hitler blew his brains out.
Yeah,
I kind of love this movie.
I just like how unfazed that guy is by most things.
Yeah,
like everything is just fine. And then at the end, like when he finds him, and he's like, "I'll go home. I should go home. I need a good cuddle."
Yeah,
but he's just hanging out in a chair before then.
Like, yeah,
I don't know. He's just he'll get there. He's certainly. Got that very sort of like British tamped down emotions, I guess.
Yeah. This is that same section that we get to pay off with Sam Rockwell gets a kind of toned down version of his fabulous outfit where they're having their last stand, which it is a funny sequence. I did, as much as it's trying to redeem a Nazi, I did like him, you know, letting Jojo escape, kind of orchestrating a way for to get away. It's a little hollow, but it's sweet. You know, saccharine, I guess, is the phrase.
Yeah, I think saccharine is a good way to describe a lot of this stuff. I think, which I didn't think about until you just mentioned it now, with like, well, if he is this good Nazi or whatever, why is he fighting back against the Americans?
Oh, no, I see. So with him is, I don't think he's a good Nazi. I think he's someone in a really fucked up situation and went with it because it's his... You know, people are brainwashed into thinking like fucking people fight for our country, and our country is like the worst evil that's happened in a really long time. You know, I think it's just one of those things. I would say put to the test Sam Rockwell in this movie, and I don't know his name. You know, like if he's completely in private, oh, we're flown to Alabama and can have a conversation what he actually thinks. He would say, oh, no, I don't mind Jews. Yeah, they're fine. Like, it's just my country told me to go to war, you know. And, you know, I'm a gay guy, so, what you know, I need to keep on the DL as best as humanly possible.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, you know, I don't think he counts as, like, a nice guy. I think that's why they gave him the redeeming moment of basically taking a bullet for JoJo. Yeah.
Right.
Because when they put the jacket on him, I went, oh, no, 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 God, no, please, my darling JoJo, don't run around in a Nazi jacket right now. You don't understand what's happening.
Yeah, now is the worst possible
The Americans
time
are me. Here, and as we know, they are bloodthirsty for children. Oh, sorry. I'm 60, 70 years in the future.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
80, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Our country is so bad. I'm leaving this end too.
Yeah.
Anybody that's listening is like, oh, it's not that bad. No, it is. We're murdering fucking children. Fuck this country.
Things aren't good right now. Things are bad.
Oh, God.
Which I think is why, like, why this, if in a different time, I might have enjoyed this more, but right now it's just like that. That humanist positivity thing.
Yeah.
It just, it feels like the pussy hats at the women's march thing. It's just like, this is all futile.
Yeah.
Like this does not matter.
But I mean, weirdly, for the same reasons this movie is kind of resonating, is that his mother got hung in a courtyard for putting up like pieces of paper that says, we want Germany free.
Yeah.
It's futile. And like, unfortunately, the Americans can't come save us because we're the Americans now. Like we literally swapped places. We went heel since World War II.
Yeah.
We're Hollywood Hulk Hogan America. And
that would explain the shoe polish beard you're wearing.
That's true. Oh, by the way, that was such an endearing scene. And also somewhat just like crazy where she just starts cosplaying her husband.
Yeah.
She just throws, I was like, oh, that's such a, I don't know. I loved her as like this freewheeling kind of almost like flapper like personality, but she's also a mom. I thought it hit me on some, what do you call those things? Feelings. I had feelings.
Yeah. I like watching Scarlett Johansson do some like broader stuff. Like I enjoyed her role in Hail Caesar a lot. just because you don't often see her being that big. So it was a welcome change.
Yeah, I'm a fan. I like Miss Johansson, and I thought she pulled it off here.
Yeah, she's gonna go places. I think we haven't heard the last from her.
Hitler, the last scene, although we're discussing, it's like, you know, kind of one too many at this point. The fact that he imagines him with a bullet hole in his head gave me a little bit of, gave me a bit of a chuckle.
Yeah.
And then he, you know, fuck off Hitler, and he, you know, kicks it.
Right.
It's nice.
But I think, well, like, it looks like his whole, like, outfit is different, too, than what he was wearing before. So that, like, that he is, like, more disheveled as a, and they didn't underline it too much. They didn't hang a lantern on too much is the that he does, like, as an imagination, as a figure of his imagination, is very, like, defeated.
Yeah.
He's very, like, dressed down and, like, less vibrant, and it's easier for JoJo to say, go to hell. And
yeah, him trying to, like, throw the Nazi sash at him. You know, that's mm-hmm. the thing with the kind of Tulpa or Tinkerbell or that whole thing of, you know, the idea of belief keeps them alive, and the thought form, mm-hmm. the evil form is going away.
And but like I said, I will give the movie credit for not him saying that out loud, like, I'm losing my power because you're learning that Jews are people.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, yeah.
They just implied that.
Anything else on Jojo Rabbit, John?
Not really. I mean, overall, like I said, I just found it kind of forgettable and a little bit empty for what it was trying to do. But yeah, it's fine. I don't know. I got a bunch of Oscar stuff, but of course it did. Or at least I don't know if it won anything, but it certainly got nominated for stuff. But you can't go wrong doing a movie about World War II if you want to be recognized for some Oscar stuff.
I really enjoyed the shit out of this movie. Recommend it wholeheartedly. It has its issues, but it's an hour and a half, the proper movie length. There's nothing that's too annoying. The parts that are good shine. I think for the high points, this is well worth a watch. Alex gets the old Alex four testicles up. I give it the full Hitler.
Four nuts up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just stick to just being goofy. Taika Waititi is what I'd say. I just don't think satire is his jam.
So recommendations. Have you seen anything since last you recommended?
Yes, but I'm still going to recommend the one I recommended last time, just because I want people to see it.
Okay.
Which is RRR, or RRR, however you say it. It's on Netflix right now. It was playing in theaters. I didn't get to see it in theaters here, but it's this
bonkers Hollywood. Oh, that's the guy who did Hollywood... Iga.
Yes, the guy who did Iga.
I knew that off the top of my head.
Alpha Dog, yeah, of course, because who doesn't love Iga?
The movie about a guy who comes
back as a fly to get revenge. It's fantastic. but it's bonkers, a lot of fun. And then I had the opportunity to go to an empty theater and see the Bob's Burgers movie, which I got kick out of. I like the show a lot, and so it's just an episode of the show, but longer, and that was fine by me. Yeah, the music was great. The animation was great. It's one of those things where you see, like, oh, they spent the extra money they got for doing a movie on, like, more animation. So just, like, the way the characters move and stuff like that, it was very thoughtfully done, and I really enjoyed it.
I will say, before recommendations, there are a few, like, weird cultural touchstones that I've completely lost. I've never seen a single frame of Bob's Burgers.
There's a lot of people like that as well. Yeah. Like, I don't think my family has. I was talking to people last night. They're like, yeah, I tried watching it. I didn't really, I'm like, well, whatever. But I enjoy it. It's a comfort show for me.
Belcher. Know the name. Know the reference. A lot of people I care about love her. Just never got around to watching. Okay. Recommendations. In lieu of recommending things, I'm going to give a sequence of things I don't recommend, because I am fucking snake bit.
Sounding. So, getting cancer.
Yeah, sounding's fine. One, the Obi-Wan show, which, if we recover the audio from the thing we talked about before the show started, I do somewhat recommend that show. It goes downhill. Don't watch, especially if you're like, oh, I want to give this company money. Don't stop. It's stupid. I also watched Old, which is exponentially better than everybody tells you it is. But that doesn't mean anything, because they say it's utter dog shit, and it's just regular dog shit. There's some really cool stuff in it. And, like, honestly, there's a couple scenes that are like, man, that was awesome. It is not worth the time of your life.
Yes.
Life is short. Just don't do it. The main surprise, which is maybe this is a soft recommend. I was going to say a not recommend to start off with. I just want to say J.K. Rowling, dirtbag, piece of shit, turf. I hope she gets kicked in the shin really, really terrible garbage person. But I watched the third part of the Newt Scamander Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them movie. And there was a secret weapon in that movie which made me like parts of it. It's that they recast Grindelwald with Mads Mikkelsen.
Perfect.
And if Mads Mikkelsen isn't anything, it's like 30% better. And he's like this beautiful, beautiful thing that I like watching doing things.
There was a great like cast interview with all them. I just saw this little excerpt from it. And they asked, what's your Patronus? And you can see Mads Mikkelsen like lean over to the person next to me like, what the hell's a Patronus?
Yeah, yeah. I just so adore him. But there's this new Auror lady. I think her name is like Lulu or something. But it's a sassy black lady that does like kind of like, hey, I'm going to talk like 1920s. But she pulls it off in such a, can we just have like I want her to do an audiobook. Like every scene she shows up, it's like, oh, you're fire. Like I'm such a fan of the way you speak. This movie, the plots, I couldn't even tell you what the plot was. I don't care. But like she's so good. And the Flash, what's his name? Ezra Miller. He plays
Ezra Miller, yeah.
Yeah, he plays I'm sort of a bad guy, but a good guy. And
I thought he died because we had a whole discussion in the first movie about whether or not he died. And apparently he did not die.
He didn't, because he's in the third one and the second one, but I don't really remember the second one very well. But he does, for an actor I'm not a big fan of, he does a pretty damn good job. So I'm not recommending you watch this movie. Basically, I'm saying this. If you can watch it for free and you like the Harry Potter books, maybe give it a watch. But like, don't spend any money, because J.K. Rowling is like a piece of shit. Like she's like a disappointing person that wrote a series of books that like literally the people that got attracted to those books, she later just decided that they're not people. Really just what a garbage fucking fire of a person. Like what a piece of shit.
Yeah. Could have just had the money and shut the fuck up.
Just makes me so. There's so many like young little trans people that like got into like, oh, magical world where I can be accepted for being me. And then she literally goes, oh, no, I don't accept you.
Not for you.
All of that social like companionship and like feeling like you finally belong somewhere. No. That's not for you.
No. Yeah.
You have horns and scales and drink the blood of people. I'm sorry, I'm being a little subtle. Yeah, so my recommendations are two things that suck and one that's pretty all right, but written by a piece of shit.
Perfect. No notes.
John, now that I can stop speaking German, what would you like to watch for next episode?
I would like to do something a little bit more highbrow, a little bit more literary. So I'd like to go with John Carpenter's In the Mouth of Madness, which is a fun little horror romp from 1995. Sam Neill plays he's basically a detective working for an insurance company looking for a missing author that writes. It's a Stephen King type, H.P. Lovecraft type author, and the wackiness that follows.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, what I would consider probably, I don't know if I said this already, but what I would consider probably the last good John Carpenter movie. After this, he takes a lot of, there's Vampires with a Dollar Sign and Ghosts of Mars and all that.
Now, is Vampires with a Dollar Sign the first Vampires?
Well, the first vampire was the Jew.
I'm sorry. I'm leaving that. John Carpenter's Vampires, is that the one you're talking about with...
Yeah.
I think they
made sequels to that.
Honestly, I kind of like that movie. I'm not saying it slaps, but like kind of slaps.
I mean, it's classic John Carpenter. Yeah. It's got all these earmarks of like, no, these are the movies that I make and I'm not updating them. I don't care. It was fine. I didn't have the same love for it as I did to so many other ones that come. It's no Memoirs of the Invisible Man or whatever, but it's not great.
All right. So on the Vampires note, we're watching In the Mouth of Madness. So see you in a fortnight.
Yes. So, give us find us on your favorite podcast app of choice and go ahead and, smash that like button, leave us a nice review, whatever it is you need to do.
Or but, on the simplest way, leave a tweet, retweet.
Yeah.
Say like, hey, I like this show. Like, spread the word. Because, I mean, frankly, John is on his way to bigger and better things. You know, he's got a whole other horror franchise going. So, like, we need to save this. Save our station. Let's UHF style.
Save our station, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to have two big chin guys.
I don't want to cast a pall, but we've got double-digit downloads. So, you know, the lifespan of this show is...
And, yeah, not to brag, but we've got treble-digit downloads on this show. So.
Well, that's what I'm saying, is that as soon as...
I don't know why I'm doing this. This is all getting cut. All right, so we will see you next time on John and Alex Hate Stuff, the show where we say things about stuff. Bye.
We do. Goodbye.